In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the first gospel is the gospel for the day, and the second one is from the saint. I think we'll consider actually the gospel for the day. And it's about love. And it starts, "And just as you want men to do to you, you must also do to them likewise. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to them who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back." And then it goes on, it says, "Love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father is merciful also." It's a very short gospel, and yet it's very clear that we love does not look for a return. Namely, that we are to love with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and we are to love in such a way that we don't look for something in return. However, it seems to me also that we live currently in a situation, our circumstances are such that there's tremendous confusion about what love actually is. Tremendous confusion about it. And I think what has happened is that there's clearly a darkening in our society when it comes to knowledge of God and faith in God. This, I think it's very obvious. And the problem with that is that we live in a collective way. Yes, we are individuals, and we can, through our own faith and love for God in the context of the community of the church, we can separate ourselves to some degree from the world around us. And yet, we are in the world, and of course, we're not to be of the world, but we are in the world, and it has a profound effect upon us. And I think that the effect has to do with understanding what love really is. It's very interesting because the prayer before the gospel says, I'll read it to you, it's very interesting. And what the priest or the bishop prays, "Shine forth within our hearts the incorruptible light of thy knowledge, O Master, lover of mankind, and open the eyes of our mind to the understanding of the preaching of the gospel. Instill in us also the fear of thy blessed commandments, that trampling down all lusts of the flesh, we may pursue a spiritual way of life, being mindful of and doing all that is well-pleasing unto thee." And so, it's very clear that in this prayer that we are praying the words of the Holy Church in the mind of Christ with the intent of, with the realization that we have to distinguish between our love of God on the one hand and our passions on the other. And it's very difficult because if you consider all of the various things that we are assaulted with on billboards and you know, covers of magazines and on television and goes on and on and on, it's very clear that we are living in a society that continuously attempts to stimulate response to images that are carnal and of the passions. And how do we find our way in this context to actually experience true love. And obviously the gospel instructs us that when we give, we should not look for return. And that when we forgive, we shouldn't look for some kind of affirmation. But that we should do these things simply hoping for and believing that the light of Christ will shine upon us and give us the reward, the most important reward in our lives. And we have many passages that I've picked just a few here, particularly first is from the Gospel of St. John. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And it's such a beautiful statement. And in reality, if we go back to Genesis, God created us in his own image and likeness, with mind and free will, to become mediators of his infinite grace and compassion for the whole world. And obviously, there was the fall. And the fall creates tremendous confusion because suddenly the light of Christ is covered over by the darkness of the passions of pride and sin. And here we are in the midst of our lives struggling to overcome this darkness and to enter into the light of Christ. And our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ came to us. He was given to us to take upon himself our sins and our sinful nature. I think what this means is that he takes upon us the power of sin, not just our sins in particular, but the power of sin. And by his life and his teaching, and by his death and his resurrection, he conquers power of sin. It's really interesting reading Romans in our little Bible study. And in the early part of Romans, it speaks very much about being saved by faith. And this is picked up in the Protestant churches very quickly and emphasized tremendously that we're saved by faith, which is true. But then a little bit later on, St. Paul talks about how the devil has been released amidst us, and the darkness of his energies aggravate and energize our passions. And so that while we are saved by faith, we must enter into the struggles against the darkness of our flesh. And we see this in the examples of all of the great saints of our church. I mean, they are heroes in Christ, but in a sense, the arena of their salvation is their struggle against the darkness of the passions and of the flesh and of pride and egotism and so on. So, and here, of course, we know that our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ was given to us to take this struggle upon himself so that we could feed upon him through the holy mysteries and be strengthened to engage in the struggle that lies before us. And the Gospel of St. Luke, a little different passage, it says, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loves his life for my sake will save it." And once again, what is this cross? Mostly, it's within us. It's our passions. It's the weight of those desires that tear us away from the things of God. And in addition to which, there's this complete distortion through the passions, what love really is. What is love? And which is obviously something that is a gift from God in reality. I mean, we have our natural natural affections to one another, and of course, natural affections lead to marriages and children and childbearing, all of which is beautiful, and all of which is from God. But it's also true that the love that our Savior is talking about is something much, much higher than our natural affections. And it's something that we need to find. And he goes on saying, in the Gospel of St. John, he says, "He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor." And so this is in this idea of he who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates this life in the world will keep it for eternal life. And these are very harsh words, I think. It's hard to hear them. And yet, I mean, obviously, we have to find a balance. And in terms of, we have all these natural affections, and they're very important to us. To establish our relationships and to just in our community and the love that we have for one another. But ultimately, all of this love has to be transformed and sanctified in the context of the mysteries of the Holy Church. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." And I think another element of true and pure love is forgiveness. Forgiveness. It's almost like it's the side of love. How can you have love without forgiveness? Is not love the fountain of forgiveness? We love so much. In the pure, clear way that we forgive. And what is forgiveness? It's to let go. We have to let go of things. Which is very difficult. And it's true that many children and young adults and so on, and adults have had experiences that are just contrary to everything we believe that is correct and right. And there's trauma involved, and that trauma gets so deeply rooted in the psyche. It's just something that reminds us of the trauma, attracts us, and may even cause us to a paralysis. We remember it, and we're stuck for a brief moment. And of course, forgiveness. And you can say, well, how can we forgive? How could a person forgive some certain thing that happened? How can we forgive? And this forgiveness, once again, it comes through the holy mysteries of the Church. And it comes through our prayer, our fasting, and our devotion. Because it is the letting go of sins and the offenses against us. It requires more than what we have naturally and carnally. It requires an act of God, really. And this is where we're so blessed to have the sacrament of confession. Because it's not just a matter of being freed by, let's say, we free ourselves, somehow we argue our way out of the things that have hurt us or that have wounded us. But we have this great and profound mystery, where our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, through the mystery, looks deep within our souls, and he heals us little by little, and gives us freedom from those things that have bound us and crippled us even. I think we know people, we are not somewhat ourselves crippled. We certainly know people who have been crippled by adversity, crippled by being the victims of terrible things. And again, he goes on, "This is my commandment, that you love one another even as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." And you think, okay, so what's the context of this? What, to lay down my life for my friends? I mean, is this the battlefield? What's the context? And I think the context actually is very interpersonal. Is that we have to, one, discern what it means to serve one another. We have to discern what it means to love one another. And this discernment comes through prayer and through the reading of the Holy Scriptures and the Word of God. And we discern what it means to love. And then we have to exercise that in absolute forgiveness. And also the willingness to even go as far as our Lord and God, our Savior Jesus Christ went, to give our lives for the salvation of others. And you think about the holy apostles and so many of the early Christians. They would preach the gospel openly and know that persecution was going to come and that martyrdom would come. All the apostles, except for John the Evangelist, died through martyrdom. And they knew exactly what they were doing. They knew they were in a time of persecution, and that the spirit of iniquity and darkness was attempting to destroy the message of the Holy Gospel. And yet they had the courage to proclaim the gospel openly and continuously. And St. Paul, he lists all the things he went through, the beatings and being at sea and nearly drowning and goes on and on, and imprisonments and so on. And so many things he suffered. And yet, he never stopped preaching the Holy Gospel, knowing absolutely that martyrdom was to face him. And then when he was taken off to Rome to be tried, he knew exactly what the outcome was going to be. And yet he continued to preach the Holy Gospel. So brothers and sisters in Christ our God, on this day, we need to resolve ourselves to exercise absolute and complete love. And we need to recognize that it's not so simple as just say, well, you know, or I forgive. It really requires deep reflection and prayer so that we can let go of those things and those people, those circumstances where we have been offended, and that we can dedicate our lives to the truth of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ as he's revealed it in the Holy Gospel, in the services of the Church, and as he administers it to us through the Holy Mysteries. In the name of the Father, and the Son.